To hear the word from our amazing pastor, Pastor Andrew. So let's welcome him up as he comes.
Wow. Thank you, Mona. Hey, why don't we give the worship team a hand? Absolutely awesome. Awesome worship. Turn to the person next to you and just say, I was raptured in that worship. You may be seated. Seriously, that was fantastic. Who loves to worship? I honestly could just keep going for hours. That was amazing. Brilliant. Good to have you here. Welcome to Bay City. You are looking incredible. You are the best looking church on Hattersley Street. There could be more than one, but there isn't. You are looking wonderful. Who's looking forward to spring? It's just around the corner. It's very close. We had council pickup yesterday. Who loves council pickup? Man, I smashed the whole concept. It's a meter by a meter, isn't it? Is that right? Is that right? But they don't tell you how high it can go. So mine was 12 stories high. Love council pickup. You just throw everything out. Got to fight my wife, but throw everything out. A few weeks ago, I started on a message. We're in Ephesians, if you haven't noticed. Ephesians chapter 6, and we started on a message. And this message, I wanted to take a little bit more time at the end. I want to pray into people's work life. And I want to pray for you guys at the end and get some of the people forward, especially if you've got your own business, if you're a career person. How many people know in this room the amount of time we spend at work is a lot, correct? You know, out of our given week and out of when we really, if you dissected your life into segments and you looked at how much time you spend focused on bringing in income and work, it's a large amount of time. And I love this passage because God speaks straight through the Apostle Paul. It's in Ephesians, speaks straight into the heart and into the life of our work life. And, you know, there's a lot of us in this room, we can think, God, I want to get on my knees and pray for that promotion. I want to get on my knees and just believe for God to open great financial doors and for us to go from strength to strength in our work life. But sometimes we've actually got to bed down and look at the Word of God and make sure that we are aligning our lives and the way we approach our work life with the Word of God. Amen? It's no use you saying, I just want an amazingly incredible marriage and you're out there having an affair and you're praying for it every day, right? You'd have to stop that to see the blessing of God. True? And sometimes I think when we can enter into the area of prayer and areas like that and not realize that we can have a lot of power by just allowing our work life to come under God's principles and look at His Word and bed down and realize that there is a way that God can give you success. God knows you as a worker. He created you to be a worker. Amen. I get confused because when I get to heaven, you see these images of us sitting around on clouds and playing harps. I'm a harper, so obviously my families will be playing harps. I don't get in my head. I can't conceive exactly what we're going to be doing when we get to heaven. You know, what are we, just sitting back in our mansions, because we've all got mansions, with a gold-plated remote, watching endless sport. Is that right, Luke? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Or just bathing in some river and just playing with animals on the grass. I don't know. But all I know is God created us to work, and He likes work. So guess what? I think there's going to be work in heaven. All right? You can't look at God and see His nature and see His character and see who He is and not realize that there's going to be some work. And as much as you probably don't like to work and get involved in things, you know what? You wouldn't be the same person unless you did. Amen? You couldn't sit there all day on the couch with a bag of chips and a remote control. Or could you? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9 says, bondservants and masters, and says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. So a few weeks ago, I just led into this intro of this, and that word bondservant and that word master, I gave you some background and some understanding in Ephesians of why this is this and why they were called slaves. And very quickly, just to recap that, to get your head around it, is the Bible for slavery? Well, in the fact of someone in Ephesians' time, in the time of this, when this was written, the way that the work system worked, if you were a laborer, one-third of the city of Ephesus, one-third of them were actually people that were slaves. You were owned by a master. But that wasn't a system as we know it today. It wasn't slave trading. The Bible talks against that. But it was the way that the world worked back then. If you wanted to work well, if you didn't, if you went into debt, you would be put into servitude. You would have a master that would own you. That's how you paid back your debts. You wouldn't be able to just go to a bank and get a loan. If you fell short on your income, you actually gave one of your children as a price, and they would become a slave for a certain period of time. Amen. So it was actually the way that the system worked. It was a way of working. It was to do with bosses and those employees. So in our minds, we think when we think of slavery, we think of what's going on, what did go on in America, what's going on across this world. We think of people being forced to labor. We think of sex slave. We think of all of that horrific stuff. The Bible talks against that. But you've got to understand, in this time when Paul was talking to the Ephesians, there would have been a congregation like this, and there would have been slaves, and there would have been masters, and there would be people in this room that might have owned four or five slaves. And there were, in Bible times, there were slaves that owned slaves. Are you with me? But that's the way the system worked. If you couldn't pay your debts, you took your whole family to some master, some master offered to take your whole family, you went into servitude. Most slaves were taken as a young child and they stayed slaves right up to the age of 30 and then they were released. And quite often back in biblical times, the master would even set them up, give them their own space, give them some of their own land and release them. And those slaves would become free and then they'd take on their own slaves as employees. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So when you read this, you've got to realize that the gist of it is talking to employees and bosses. Put your hand up if you're an employee in this place. You work for someone. You have a boss. There it is. Put your hand up if you're a boss. Okay, talking to both of you in this room. I've got a boss. Yes, dear. So I'm going to skip right through and I'm going to get right into what this says to us because this is important. God wants to give us some wisdom when it comes to our work life. And I believe, you know what? I believe within this passage, there are keys to promotion. Amen? How many people here are believing for promotion in your work? Okay, not many. How many really don't care? You just turn up, you clock in, you clock out, and you go home. How many people are just believing for greater opportunities in their work life? The Word of God is powerful. And you know what? It's amazing how detailed God gets when I look through this passage and study it out, how detailed God gets in talking to us as employees. And he has a word to say to bosses at the end, which is always good. So let's jump into it. Verse 5. It says here, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ." The number one concept is that you, if you're a believer in this place, you've got an earthly master and you've got a heavenly master. And God wants your number one motivation for all that you do in your job to be your heavenly master, Christ. Amen? Isn't it interesting that Jesus actually calls us? He calls himself in relationship to us. I love it out there. You've got a whole bunch of people that Jesus is my best friend. Oh, man, he's my best friend. And he is. But he's also your master. Amen? He's my best friend. Oh, man, he just loves me. Loves whatever I do, he just loves me. Well, he's also your master. He's also that one that gets up in your face and actually does ask you and prompts you through the Holy Spirit to do some things. Amen? You can't sit around just doing nothing and not having anything happening around your life for him and for his kingdom and what he wants you to do. He's your master. He's also your Lord. Amen? We've got to understand every aspect of our relationship with Christ. Yes, he's your lover of your soul. Yes, he's your best friend. Absolutely. Yes, he comes to your rescue. But yes, he expects you to do some stuff. Amen? And I think we've got to understand when we look at this passage, what Paul's trying to say is the number one thing you need to realize is when you're at work, you're not working for your boss, you're working for a higher master than your boss, you're working for Christ. That kind of changes it up a bit. That actually gets right in there and really can sort out your head on quite a few things. We're to have an attitude that reflects our master, Christ. Really? You should be, your boss should be coming to you every second week and just going, is any more like you? Man, if you're a Christian, man, just the way you work, you're so awesome. You're just brilliant. Have you got more? You know, I've heard many stories about that. Now, back in the day, when I was at Hillsong College, there was a lot of college students. Hillsong Church, college students were sort of, there was a shopping center across the road at Borkham Hills, and quite a few of them were getting involved in some of the shops there and some of the businesses there. And we used to get reports all the time, people going, hey, is there any more of them? They're just full of, you know, they're full of good attitude, smile on their face, full of life. Amen? It was giving the church a good reputation. It was fantastic. Sure, there were always the ones that weren't, but the majority were doing amazingly. So I want to look at some of these key words in this. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. And according to the flesh literally means your earthly masters, because he's straight away referring that you've got an ultimate master, which is Christ. But he says, be obedient. And that word obedient means to submit. Oh, that hurts. You actually, by God's definition of principle, for you as a worker under Christ, you are called to submit to your boss. Amen? Now, that's always a good idea. True? If you're going to have a scrap at your boss every time you get in, you're going to tell him he doesn't do his job right and he's not running things right and you should be the boss, you're not going to get anywhere. Literally what God's saying is if you don't have that heart of submission, it's not going to bring the blessing that God wants in your life. Amen? I've seen this in real life. I've seen this happen. I've been a part of this somewhere in my life with some attitude. You know, my very first job, I left school, HSC, and I got this job in this, it was a data center. It's called United Data Centers at Meadowbank. There it was, somewhere in Ryde. And I remember I jumped in there and I don't know, I didn't do amazingly well at school, but when I got to work, I just went for it. And they had two guys that owned this business. And I was only there for about 6 months, and they did this big deal with this big company called Brambles. And these two guys had built the business for about, I don't know, 14, 15 years, poured their heart and soul into it. And Brambles said to them, look, you know, we're gonna partner up with you guys. And they said, yeah, sure, that sounds fantastic. So they signed contracts. And what Brambles said is, we're going to take all your clients and we're going to process them, doing payrolls, and we're going to put a whole new computer system into your building. And then we're going to get that up to speed. It'll take about 5 months. And then you're going to take all our clients and your own clients back, and you're going to process it for all of us. Fantastic. So these two brothers went for it, and they got this going. Well, and they got the whole computer system in, and somehow they were ended up paying most of it. And then they said, great, it's all ready. And Brambles said, yeah, I don't think so. We've got all your clients now. We don't think we'll get them back. And they just said, take us to court. That's the end of that. And I'd only been there for about 8 months. And instantly, people were just leaving. They had about 80, 90 staff. People were just disappearing. People were going because it was just... And I remember staying with these two. They were brothers. They were devastated. And they ended up with a big... We still had some clients. And everyone left, and I was just standing there, and I said, I'll stay with you. And I had only been there for 6 months. I was like some junior. And I ended up working with these guys for about another 5 months. I'd turn up early and leave late. And these guys were broken and devastated. I wasn't even a Christian at this time. And I was just working with them. And at the end of it, I remember they pulled me. They said, you know, it's time to go. The whole thing's it's going to go to court. We're bankrupt now. We've lost everything. And I remember they called me in the office and they said, I was literally the last employee. It was them two and me. And I was just this little junior. And I remember they sat me down and they said, you know what, tonight, it's your last night, and we've got it organized, we've got dinner here, we're going to write you a reference like you've never had before. And they sat there that night and they wrote this amazing, because I just stayed with them, I stayed faithful, I didn't leave, I didn't run, and they wrote this incredible reference. And so I went out of that job and went to a job almost three times the money because of their reference. Took me a little bit once I got into the job, but they just taught me so much about doing it. And it was just, it was just attitude. You know, I think God blesses attitude. You might have all the designs in the world to see yourself succeed in business, but if you don't have this attitude of a submission, you know what? You're just going to repel, you'll repel things in your life. Are you with me? You'll be that person, they go, oh, go around that person. No, they can't submit. We'll promote the person next to them. Are you hearing me? I've seen it happen in life. I've seen it happen in church life. I've seen it happen so many places. The second one he talks about here, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. That word fear sounds horrible. You know what it literally means? You know the translation when you get into it? It literally means your boss is your livelihood. So give them the honor and respect of being that. Are you with me? You mean, hold on, I work for God. Well, yeah, but God's put this person in your life. They're your livelihood. Give them the honor and respect of that and treat them that way. Don't suddenly reduce your boss to that peer. I've seen people do that. Are you with me? And he goes on the last one with trembling. The word trembling means so concerned that we righteously do not do our utmost to fulfill our duty. You've got this attitude where you're just going, you're doing as much as you can to fulfill your duty. You're not doing the minimum, right? Just the minimum and get home. Just punch that clock, get in there, just do what you have to do and get out of there. God says, if you want to do it my way, you want to represent me as the master of all masters, then have an attitude that wants to get in there and do your duty. And in the last part, the last phrase in this passage is in sincerity of heart. So it says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. And sincerity of heart, when you look at that and you break it down, it's about a servanthood attitude. Attitude is everything, isn't it? If you're late every week, guess what? That's attitude. True? If you're early every week, guess what? That's attitude. If you take extra time here, if you're slacking this and that, it's attitude. True? Somewhere in your mind, you've programmed yourself to realize it doesn't really matter. That your time in bed or your time, what have you, is more important than your job. It's an attitude. And you know what? What God's saying is, you got to deal with this stuff. You can pray, you can get on your knees and cry out to God every night, but if you're not bringing your life into God's principles, guess what? You could be praying all the night before, God, I need promotion at work, and turning up an hour late. Good on you. God will go, hey, pull back on the prayer an hour and get to work on time. Let's see how we can make this thing change. Amen? It's gone quiet in here. Is that all right? I'm just sharing the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. Number 6, verse 6 says, not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Two great attitudes here. Not with eye service. I love this. This is so detailed. It covers every work problem that I've ever seen. Not as eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ. Do you know what that means? It means you are to work for Christ as if you're working for Christ, guess what? When the boss is not looking. Have you seen that in the workplace? You know, so when the boss comes in, you know, yes, working. He goes out, Facebook's up. Snapchat's up. Twitter's up. You're doing everything. You go back to sleep. I love how detailed God gets. If you want to do that, guess what? As a master of Christ, guess what? Christ sees you 24/7. Even though the boss isn't there, he walks out the office and you're like, yeah, he's gone now. Yeah. They pull back the table. The card game starts again. He's gone. Yes. But guess what? As a believer, you don't have that right. Is that all right? But if you want to see God's principles, if you want to, you know, God blesses the righteous, but he blesses us when we follow his path and his principles. Are you with me? When we allow our lives to line up with it. And if you're expecting all this blessing, but that's your heart, as soon as the boss goes, you're out of there, you're not doing it. God sees you 24/7. He's the ultimate master. Doing the will of God from the heart means we are not externally motivated, we are internally motivated. Let me read that again. Not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Most people out there in the world are externally motivated. They the boss comes in the room, people come in, the rewards come in. But what Christ asks us to do is as we are to realize that our master lives inside our heart and we are motivated through our love for Christ. Are you with me? It's a whole different engine that you've got operating in you that gives you the right and the ability to live with the right attitude. Verse number 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Goodwill means with benevolence, kindness, being agreeable, not argumentative or obstinate. Titus 2:9 puts it this way, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Amen? Your reputation is tied to Christ inside you. Is that all right? Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. I want to almost finish on this point. There's a couple other things. We as believers have a heavenly reward. And if you don't get your head around that, it's something that you need to understand. That's why Christ is our master. Amen? That's why he's not just seen as our friend, but he's actually seen as our master, because all of us in this room, we have rewards as believers for what we do here on earth and how we live our life for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, there's a judgment that all of us in this room are going to find ourselves in. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, there's a couple of judgments that are out there that the Bible talks about. One of the main judgments is of those for sinners. But if you're in this room and you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you come under what is called the judgment seat of Christ. But it's a judgment. And I sometimes realize that not all believers get an understanding of what this is. And that word judgment there, let me just tell you what that word judgment means. Bema. And the best way to describe what Bema is what we're in right now, the Olympics. Are you with me? The Olympics. So what God is actually saying, for we must all appear before the Olympic judge, God, seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Are you with me? There is going to be a time for us as believers where, and this word, that word judgment was literally taken from the Greek word, which literally is the same word used for judging people in the Olympics, for athletes, for a medal ceremony. Are you with me? So our lives will one day come to a place, and I don't know how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen, but the Word of God says it is, that we all become before the judgment seat of Christ. We appear before that, and somewhere God's going to judge and reward you based on what you've done for him in this life. Are you with me? I don't know about you. I love the Olympics. Who's enjoying the Olympics? I've just tipped into this. You know, I was up to 1 a.m. the other night. You just get caught because it's live then, right? And you don't get all the replays. And, you know, do you get emotional when they get emotional? I do. You know, you get some people on stage and they get their gold and they're just tears and they're just going nuts. And there was some one of our guys, he was just crying and crying and crying, and someone had to hug him. And it's just a lot of people getting emotional. But you know what? All of you in this room, I don't know how it's going to happen, but just maybe there's going to be this massive crowd. And Mona Luxon's going to stand up on the podium. And the whole crowd, and God's going to judge her. Not with penalty, but with reward. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? I mean, this is the Word of God. If you're looking at it, it mentions in Corinthians, it mentions it also in Romans 10. It goes and it talks about it in Revelations, but this is it. So don't think for a moment that what you do on this earth as a believer doesn't count. Are you with me? How you work with your boss, how you work at work, how you work in the kingdom, what you do here for the church, for growing the kingdom of God, all of that comes to a place where you stand on a podium, and I just hope that there's some good rewards. Are you with me? Is that out there? But this is the Word of God. It's not a judgment with a penalty. It's a judgment with a reward. And sometimes, you know, when you get no reward, yeah, it's just downright embarrassing. Are you with me? And there'll be one day, my picture in my mind, I can just imagine the people that are going to stand on the podium and God's going to just give them whatever that reward is. And they're going to be some very interesting people. Some people that you probably have never heard of or never seen before, And it could be some little old lady who just stands up there. She probably won't be, she's in heaven. So she'll be in a, whatever. Whatever your theology is on age, she'll be in a new resurrected body. And she'll be this person that just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And maybe caused all this. Or someone that just silently witnessed to so many different people and saw them come into the kingdom. And you're like, oh, I thought Billy Graham would have got the biggest. But no. Are you with me? We are actually in a race. And there is a prize. Can I say it? It's Olympics. And all of us in this room are going to be judged based on what we do for the kingdom. Not judged based on your sin for a penalty, because Christ has taken that. Amen? Maybe the band could jump up. But based on what you do. Paul's trying to make you aware that everything you do in your life is important. Everything. Your work life, every aspect of your life. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. No matter who you are in this life, when you stand before God and the judgment seat of Christ, there's no partiality. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you were a slave or whether you were free. You'll be judged the same. Amen? Based on your lot in life, your race, you've got a laneway. Everyone in this room has a laneway. You're running in it for God. Paul says it. He says, what does he say to us? He says, press towards the prize for the upward calling of Christ Jesus. You're running a race, every one of you in this room. You're a believer. The gun's, whatever age you are, and you're running in your lane, and you're running your race, and one day you'll stand before, I don't know, a whole crowd, or just before Jesus Christ himself. And I hope when you stand there, he says, well done, good and faithful. Enter into your reward. Here's your reward. You did well. Do you know there's levels in heaven? I'm sorry, but there are. The Bible mentions it. Is that all right? Is that all right? We're in a race, every one of us. You're accountable for your season, for your time. King David, he's run his race. Moses has run his race. Abraham has run his race. They've all run their races. Andrew Harper's got to run his race. Deborah Samuel is going to run her race. And what we do here is important. I love that saying. What you do now echoes in eternity. Best movie ever, Gladiator. He's on a horse. Don't waste it. How you operate at work is important. How you live your life is important. And I want to pray. Last thing to bosses, very simply, there's two things. It says, if you're running a business and there's two things you don't do. Verse 9 says, and you masters do the same thing to them, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality in him. Verse 9. If you, as a boss, use threatening to motivate people, you are ungodly. It's not going to work. Give it up. There's no need for abuse. There's no you. It's not a motivation that's going to work long term. And I've seen people like this, and they keep going through staff. They keep turning people over. True? People just go. Good people go. And they keep employing and keep employing. So if you're a boss and that's your heart and your main motivation is to threaten, good luck. You're going against, you're raging against the wisdom of God. It will not work. And the second thing it mentions, bosses and masters do the same thing to them, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality. No privileges. How you operate as a boss, one day you'll be in heaven. You'll be judged for that. Amen? I want to speak life into your laneway. I want to speak life into your work world. There's so much. I mean, there's what we do in church, we're a part of. It's all so important. But I know in this room there's a lot of people, you spend a lot of time and effort in your work world, and I just want to speak life into it. I was praying for you this morning. I was praying, Holy Spirit, speak life into businesses. Speak life into your work world, to your careers. So why don't we stand to our feet? I'm going to get some of our, can I get some of our life group leaders to come out here and pray? Just for a moment. What you do midweek is important to Christ. It is. It's important to Him. Everything in your life, and this is such a large slab of our worlds. And I want to speak, I want to see promotions. I want to see attitudes change. I want to see lives stand out. In this church, I want to hear the sound of people saying, man, incredible employers. So, if you've got a job, well, let me start first of all. If you've got your own business or you're running your own business, because sometimes, you know, when you're in that position and you're a believer, you do come under attack. Just like you're a head of a church or a head of a business. You know, I believe that the enemy does go for the top. He tries. It's just strategy. So if you're your own business, just come out the front here. If you've got your own business, you represent. Awesome. Just stand. Why don't we stand in front of one of these guys? We're going to pray for you. But we're going to pray corporate prayer, and then we're just going to speak life into your businesses. And then we're going to pray for everyone else that's in work, life. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. God, for every one standing here. God, I pray for protection, Father God. I pray for protection, Holy Spirit. Protection over them, God, over their business, over the vision that you've put inside of them, over the dreams, Father God, over the purposes, Father God. God, we pray for protection, Father God, that they would know, God, that they are called, that you are their master. God, that they run this business, Father God, it is part of your kingdom. It's part of your purpose for their life, God. You are their master. God, I release protection and anointing and insight and wisdom, God, into all their decisions. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. God, anoint them. Anoint them, God. Anoint them, God. God, let them be anointed for the task. Let them be anointed. Anointed for the task. Holy Spirit. Anointing, God, for decisions, for direction, for purpose, for guidance, God. Who to hire, God? Who to place? Who to partner with, God, right now? Anointing. Anointing, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. God, we speak favor. God, I speak favor on this business. Favor, God. Favor. God, anointing, God. God, favor. Give them favor on contracts, God. Give them favor with bosses, God, and other people that He's involved with. Give them favor in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, anoint them. Anoint them, God. Spirit of God. Amen. So if you're someone in a career or workplace, you want to pray for that area, for your workplace, just come and bring yourself down the front now. Open it up to anyone. Yeah. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Anoint him, God. Anoint him to set him apart, God. Let his anointing set him apart, God. God, open doors of opportunity, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.